All glories to Shiguro and Shi Goranga. Om Vishnu Vidaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutaya Srimati Bhakti Vidaya Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasvatandeve Gauravani Vijarne Nirvishesha Shunivayi Paskyatya De Sitarne Om Agenatavarandas Dya Gananjana Salakaya Chaksur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Vidamayam Vidati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shiro Shiyuta Parakamalam Shigurum Vaishnavam Scha Shirupam Sagradatam Sahagana Raganatam Vitam Tam Sadivam Sarvaitam Savadutam Prajana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Visakam Zidam Scha Hey Krishna Karna Sindo Dina Bandha Vigatate Gopesha Gopita Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavani Shri Vrishabhanu Sutta Devi Pranamami Rikriye Vanchakapa Trivyascha Kripa Sindhu Vivasha Kalita Bhavanejo Vaishnavejo Moha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Pranudinaja Shadvaitira Harshivasri Gaur Bhaktarinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
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 So thank you for giving me this opportunity to say something about Krishna on his appearance day. Actually, this verse will explain that he doesn't have a birthday. He has an appearance day. Still, we wish him a happy birthday. Because he took birth, therefore we can have a happy day. Because he appeared. Krishna is always happy, whether he appears or not. But now that he appeared on this day, we can become a little bit happier by talking about him. Srila Prabhupada used to say, we have nothing new to say, but Krishna consciousness is nitya nava nava yavana, which means that it's ever fresh. Although the same thing is going on, called nitya lila, still, every time we hear it with attention and with some respect, then it becomes ever more fresh. And the great devotees, they're actually able to relish the transcendental messages. Actually, the messages are coming down in the simple succession, and these messages are written, for instance, in the Bhagavad Gita. Even in the last days of Srila Prabhupada, he was constantly quoting Bhagavad Gita. It is not that Bhagavad Gita is something we're trying to transcend. We're not trying to transcend the Bhagavad Gita to go on to something else. If we could even realize one word, one letter in Bhagavad Gita, then we'd actually be transcendental. Everything is there in Bhagavad Gita. And to help us understand how everything there is there in Bhagavad Gita, we also have other literatures like Srimad Bhagavatam, which are expansions of Bhagavad Gita, Chaitanya Charitamrita, etc. And of course, the essence of Bhagavad Gita, Srila Prabhupada said that this is the most important verse in the Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita 4.9. That doesn't mean there are not other more very important verses or the most important verses. But this is one of the most important verses. Krishna is absolute, so he can have many most important verses. So here we have the most important verse, and if someone thinks something else is other verse is most important, we'd have to agree. Unless they say Dharma Kshetra, Kuru Kshetra. Maybe that's the most important verse, I don't know. So this is text number 9 from the Transcendental Knowledge, Bhagavad Gita as it is. I'm sure most of you are familiar with it. Janma karma cha me divyam.
Janma karma cha me divyam.
Evam yo veti tatvataha.
Evam yo veti tatvataha.
Yatva deham punarjanma. Naitimam eti sorjana.
Naitimam eti sorjana.
Janma karma cha me divyam.
Janma karma cha me divyam.
Evam yo veti tatvataha.
Evam yo veti tatvataha.
Yatva deham punarjanma. Arjanma Naiti Mam Eti Sorjana.
Janma Karma Chimedi Vyam.
Janma Karma Chimedi Vyam.
Evam Yogeti Tatvata.
Evam Yogeti Tatvata.
Padeham Punarjanma.
Chakradeham Punarjanma.
Naiti Mam Eti Sorjana.
Naiti Mam Eti Sorjana.
Karma cha me divyam.
Karma karma cha me divyam.
Evam yo veti tatvataha.
Evam yo veti tatvataha.
Tvadiham punarjanma.
Tvadiham punarjanma.
Naiti maam eti sorjuna.
Naiti maam eti sorjuna.
Janma karma cha me divyam.
Evam yo veti tatvataha. Satyam punarjanma. Naiti maam eti sorjana.
Matma cha me divyam.
Janma karma cha me divyam.
Evam yo veti tatvata.
Evam yo veti tatvata.
Tvadiham punarjanma.
Satyam punarjanma.
Naiti maam eti sorjana.
Naiti maam eti sorjana.
Matavis.
Janma karma cha me divyam. Evam yo veti tatvataha.
Tyajva deham punarjanma.
Naiti maam eti sorjana.
Janma.
Janma.
Birth.
Birth.
Karma.
Karma.
Work.
Cha,
also,
may,
of mine,
divyam,
transcendental,
evam,
like this,
ya,
anyone who,
veti,
knows, tatvataha, in reality,
yatva,
leaving aside, deham, this body, punaha,
again,
janma, birth, na, never, eti,
does attain,
mam, unto me,
eti,
does attain, sa,
he,
Arjuna,
O
Arjuna. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. One who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving the body, take his birth again in this material world, but obtains my eternal abode, O Arjuna. Purport. The laws descend from his transcendental abode is already explained in the 6th chap verse. One who can understand the truth of the appearance of the personality of Godhead is already liberated from material bondage, and therefore he returns to the kingdom of God immediately after quitting his present material body. Such liberation of the living entity from material bondage is not at all easy. The impersonalists and the yogis attain liberation only after much trouble and many, many births. Even then, the liberation they achieve, merging into the impersonal Brahma Jyoti of the Lord, is only partial, and there is a risk of returning to this material world. But the devotee, simply by understanding the transcendental nature of the body and activities of the Lord, attains the abode of the Lord after ending this body and does not run the risk of returning to this material world. In the Brahma Samhita 5.33, it is stated that the Lord has many, many forms and incarnations. Advaitam Achyutam Anadim Anantarupam. Although there are many transcendental forms of the Lord, there is still one and the same Supreme Personality of Godhead. One has to understand this fact with conviction, although it is incomprehensible to mundane scholars and empiric philosophers. As stated in the Vedas, Purusha Bodhini Upanishad, Eko Devo Nitya Lila Nurakto Bhaktya Bhakta Vyapti Ridyananta Atma. The one Supreme Personality of Godhead is eternally engaged in many, many transcendental forms in relationship with his unalloyed devotees. This Vedic version is confirmed in this verse of the Gita personally by the Lord. He who accepts this truth on the strength of the authority of the Vedas and of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and who does not waste time in philosophical speculations, attains the highest perfectional state of liberation. Simply by accepting this truth on faith, one can without a doubt, obtain liberation. The Vedic version of Tattvamasi is actually applied in this case. Anyone who understands Lord Krishna to be the Supreme, or who says unto the Lord, "You are the same Supreme Brahman, the Personality of Godhead," is certainly liberated instantly, and consequently his entrance into the transcendental association of the Lord is guaranteed. In other words, such a faithful devotee of the Lord attains perfection. And this is confirmed in the following Vedic assertion. Tam eva vidit vati mrityum eti nanya panta vidyatein vinaya. One can obtain the perfect state of liberation from birth and death simply by knowing the Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and there is no other way to achieve this perfection. Svaita Svatara Upanishad 3.8. That there is no alternative means that anyone who does not understand Lord Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead is surely in the mode of ignorance, and consequently he will not attain salvation, simply so to speak, by licking the outer surface of the bottle of honey, or by interpreting the Bhagavad Gita according to mundane scholarship. Such empiric philosophers may assume very important roles in the material world, but they are not necessarily eligible for liberation. Such puffed-up mundane scholars have to wait for the causeless mercy of the devotees of the Lord. One should therefore cultivate Krishna consciousness with faith and knowledge, and in this way attain perfection. Janma karma cha me divyam evam yo veti tattvataha tyaktva deham punarjanma naiti mam eti sarjana. One who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not upon leaving the body take his birth again in this material world, but attains my eternal abode, or Arjuna. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Buddhaya Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Saraswatam Deve Gauravani Vajarane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskyatya De Satarane. As explained here, the purpose of the Krishna consciousness movement is to know Krishna. To become conscious of Krishna means that to know Krishna in truth. And Prabhupada, of course, in this verse, he emphasizes that mundane scholarship, mundane activities, cannot actually help us understand Krishna. Although some people may interpret Krishna according to their own understanding, but one can realize Krishna only, as Krishna says, bhakti mam abhijananti yavam yas chas mitatvataha tyatvat. The one can understand Krishna as he actually is only through the process of devotional service. And when one is actually absorbed in the process of devotional service, then one can enter into the kingdom of God. In other words, if we want to understand Krishna, it's only by devotional service. This is called bhakti. We were going over bhakti, rasa, mrita, sindhu. So bhakti means active engagement in doing something to please Krishna. So Krishna is explained in Bhagavad Gita, patram pushpam bhulam toyam yome bhakta priyachati tadaham bhakti paritam ashnami priyatatmanaha. He says that if one offers me with love and devotion a leaf, a fruit, some flower, some water, I'll accept it. So it is by our love, Krishna repeats bhakti twice. In other words, we're trying to love Krishna. Of course, to love Krishna, first of all, we have to become conscious of Krishna. That's why we're called the Krishna Consciousness Movement, because we're trying to actually become conscious of Krishna. But we're not conscious of Krishna because presently our consciousness is covered by the three modes of material nature. Therefore, the process of becoming free from the three modes of material nature and becoming conscious of Krishna is the same process of devotional service. At the beginning, that devotional service may not be so tasteful because we're not so much conscious of Krishna, but later on, by the purification of our consciousness, gradually as we actually become conscious of Krishna, then the result is that it becomes more and more relishable. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has emphasized more than any other activity in this age to chant Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And to learn the science of chanting with attention and with enthusiasm, or feeling, or devotion. That there is no more direct method of becoming conscious of Krishna than simply to chant his name. Because Namas Chintamani Krishnas Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha Purno Shudo Nityamukto Vinatvatvam Namanamino. That there is no difference between Krishna and Krishna's name, his form, his quality, his pastimes. Everything is Krishna. That we can directly realize Krishna simply by chanting Hare Krishna. Now, of course, many of us are chanting Hare Krishna, and we may not have so much recognized or realized Krishna. But something was there, otherwise we would be here celebrating his birthday, his appearance day. But that chanting of Hare Krishna is made more and more sweet then the more we learn how to give up the 10 offenses. And to give up the 10 offenses, we have to learn the science of devotional service. The science of devotional service is the science of how to live in the association of devotees in Krishna consciousness. Therefore it says, Aradyo Bhagavan Rajesha Tanayos Taddhama Vrindaranam Ramna Kachit Upasana Rajavadu Vargena Vakalpitaha Srimad Bhagavatam Pramanam Amalam Prema Pramartamahan Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhur Matam Idam Tatraraya Na Para. That our worshipable personality is Krishna. Krishna who lives as a cowherd boy in Vrindavan, the son of Nanda Maharaj. This is who we're trying to think of. And he lives in Vrindavan, just in case anyone wants to find out his address and go and visit him. That's his hometown, Vrindavan. And there, Vrindavan is the same as Krishna. It is just as worshipable as Krishna. There are the flowers, the swans, the trees, the cowherd boys, the cowherd girls, everyone there is of the same nature of Krishna. And what is that nature? Intense love. No one is doing anything except for intensely loving Krishna and Krishna's associates. That may sound rather repetitious, but actually it is the very essence of every living entity's existence. That is called Sanatana Dharma. That is the only real activity that the soul is supposed to do. Everything else except for that is superfluous to the soul. To love Krishna and to love Krishna's devotees, that is the actual constitutional position of every living entity. Coming to the material world, we've simply made things a bit more complicated. Here, instead of simply loving Krishna and everything in relation to Krishna, we've learned to hate Krishna and learned to hate everything in relation to Krishna. So this is called the exact opposite of Vayam Dvitiya Bhinivesha Tasya Ishadapatasya Viparyo Smiti. And what do we get as a reward for trying to forget Krishna? Of course, it's been so long since we've been trying to forget Krishna that we've forgotten that that's what we're trying to do. We can't even remember that's what we came here for. But what is the reward? What is the result of trying to forget Krishna? Vayam. Immediately become full of anxiety, fear. The whole world is simply a place of anxiety, fear, and we're afraid of what's going to happen the next moment, and whatever we're afraid of is usually what happens the next moment anyhow. And the main cause of the fear is that we think that there's us and there's everyone else. And our goal in life here in the material world is to get everyone else to worship us, which is quite difficult. Therefore, it's quite a task in the material world, especially since even if one becomes the topmost worshipable person in this universe, Lord Brahma, still one has to die and start all over again, from maybe not on the top position. Therefore, it's quite a challenge in the material world. And since time immemorial, everyone has been engaged in trying to win this battle, which is impossible to win. Therefore, the devotee says that now labhyate buddhis tararanam sharanam tvam yukshva adasya. Now I've obtained a little intelligence, and now I'm giving up, I'm surrendering to you, unto you lotus feet which make one fearless. Abhaya charanara vindare. So how is that surrender? That surrender is, first of all, to recognize what is the actual goal. And then, what is the method by which one can obtain that goal? Therefore, this devotee says that the goal is to obtain Krishna. Krishna in Vrindavan, that world in which Krishna is going out every day, herding cows, and playing on his flute, and dancing with the gopis, and taking prasadam, and so many different activities all during the day. So we want to go back to that world where everyone lives forever, simply in love of Krishna, and love for everyone, because there's nothing but Krishna in the spiritual world, Krishna and Krishna's expansions. And how to do that? Ramna kinchit, ramna kachit, upasana. So the best way of learning how to worship Krishna is ramna kinchit upasana vrajavadu. The gopis of Vrindavan, we're trying to follow in their footsteps. So that doesn't mean that everyone here is a gopi, that everyone's trying to become a gopi. There's a class of persons in India, and maybe they're here too now. Whoever's in India usually goes outside too. They're called Saki Bakis. They think that to worship Krishna in the mood of the gopis means that we should dress up like gopis. So the men, the women, they dress up like gopis. They wear saris. They put on lipstick and they talk like gopis. So, I think it was Gorkhashordas Babaji, he was making a little joke, and he said, my dear Saki Beki, what will happen if Krishna wants to have his Vastra, Harana Vastra Leela with you? What will you do then? That's when Krishna came and stole the gopi's clothes. So what will you be reacting? What will you do? So we're not trying to become imitate gopis in Vrindavan, but upasana. There is no better method of worshiping Krishna than how the gopis in Vrindavan were worshiping Krishna. They gave up everything for Krishna. Simply, what was the reward? The opportunity to render service to Krishna and to constantly think of him, to please him. They were completely absorbed in love for him, and therefore they were overwhelmed with transcendental bliss and love in relation to Krishna. So Krishna is rasa vaisaha. He's a reservoir of unlimited rasas, unlimited pleasure, and when it becomes absorbed in thinking of him, then they become absorbed in unlimited different types of pleasure. So the gopis were most absorbed because they gave up everything, their honor, their personal possessions, their families, everything, just to please Krishna. They didn't care what happened to themselves personally. They were only concerned that if Krishna was pleased. Therefore, they're the most worshipable personalities. All the residents of Vrindavan, they all follow the footsteps of the gopis, giving up everything just to please Krishna. But in the spiritual world, the relationship with the gopis is something special, because there are the palaces in Dwarka with so many thousands of queens, or probably millions of queens in Goloka Vrindavan and Dwarka, and there they're all legally married. So, although it's transcendental, but still that feeling of doing something illegal, which is doing something which is prohibited, isn't there. Everything is very properly done in Dwarka. Therefore, the sacrifice of giving up one's honor and fame and prestige is not there. That mood is not there. Although the residents of Dwarka have unalloyed love for Krishna, overwhelming love for Krishna, always meditating upon Krishna, but they're missing that mood of being willing to give up everything, even one's prestige and honor, even doing something which is ordinarily forbidden, just to please Krishna. Therefore, that mood is there, especially for the gopis. No one else in the spiritual world has that mood. Therefore, they're the most worshipable for us, because even if we have another relationship, therefore we know that the gopis have some special feeling towards Krishna. They'd give up everything just to please him. And Srimad Bhagavatam Pramanam Amala. So to learn how to develop that mood, we have to study Srimad Bhagavatam Bhagavad Gita. The spiritual world is there in these books, just as there is no difference between Krishna and his name, so there's no difference between these books and Krishna and his associates. That within our heart, there's actually a transcendental television. And by the process of devotional service, we'll be able to actually not only see the transcendental form, the transcendental experience, or we should say the transcendental form of Krishna and his associates, but as our heart becomes purified, then we can actually feel their qualities, feel their experience, their pastimes of unalloyed love. This is actually Krishna consciousness. Krishna bhakti rasa bhavitamati. Krishna consciousness means to actually be absorbed in the feelings of loving Krishna. So those feelings of loving Krishna come from the residents of Vrindavan. And they manifest themselves in so many different ways. If we read the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, we'll feel that we'll experience that all the devotees, from the Brahmin who is worshipping Krishna at Prayag, to the king in Jagannath Puri who is worshipping Lord Jagannath, to Lord Indra, to the Maharshis in Maharloka, to the Kumaras in Janaloka, to the residents of Brahmaloka, to the residents of Shivaloka, to Vaikuntha Vasis, to Dwarka Vasis, and the Ayodhya Vasis, all the way up to Vrindavan. All of them, they're all in this mood of simply loving Krishna, dedicating whatever they have to Krishna. So, Srimad Bhagavatam, it gives us this understanding of how to appreciate all the devotees. The idea is that when we hear about the residents of Vrindavan, we may not be able to fully appreciate them because they may seem so far away. How the gopis, they left their homes and they ran out to when they heard Krishna's flute, and how that was like a great sacrifice. Nowadays, for a young girl to leave her home to go out for a concert is no big deal. Matter of fact, we've heard that there's one devotee in Barcelona, she's a lady, is in Spain. She told me that she has two daughters and her husband is against Krishna consciousness. So she said that when her children, they have to sneak out to go to the temple. So when they come back, they tell her, their father, that they went to the discotheque. And he said, oh, that's very good. But if they, she said, oh no, we went to the temple. And, oh, you went to the cult. Discotheque, very nice. So nowadays, a young girl going out, meeting some young boy in a discotheque. Oh, that is very nice. That is normal. Going out and worshiping God in some temple. Oh, this is sinful. So therefore, it's very difficult to understand exactly what the mood of the gopis are and how is they gave up everything, running out of the house to go to the concert in the middle of the forest. Because people think, oh, very nice. This is normal. Young girl running out of her house to go meet some young boy in the forest who's playing a flute. This is very nice. But this is not Vedic culture. Therefore, even if we hear about the culture, so, and then we come all the way down to Brahmaloka, Lord Brahma's always in ecstasy hearing the Gandharvas, the Shrutis, everyone is glorifying Krishna. Down Maha Jana Loka, meditation on Krishna, and we come all the way down here. So here, from this point, we have to see what is the next level. What is some level I can actually appreciate? Therefore, Krishna Varna Tvisa Krishna Sangha Pangasra Barashana Jagnai Sankirtana Prayer Yanti Hisumedasa. Krishna saw. He came and exhibited his pastime 5,000 years ago, but who understood what his pastimes were? Few people understood. Many people saw Krishna, but we can see that practically no one understood Krishna. The wrestlers, they thought he was a thunderbolt. Kamsa thought he was death personified. Deva and the young girls there who were watching him wrestle, they thought he was Cupid personified. The yogis thought he was the super soul. So everyone, even though Krishna was personally present before them, hardly anyone actually understood Krishna. Therefore Krishna thought that I have to come and teach how to understand it. Therefore he came 500 years ago as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he came with his associates and all of them cooperated very nicely to show how we can understand Krishna. So what did Chaitanya Mahaprabhu do? He didn't lift Govardhan Hill. He didn't kill demons. He didn't do so many things that Krishna did. So what did he do? Yari Deka Tari Kaha Krishna Upadesh Amara Agaya Guruhana Tara Edesh. He simply instructed that whoever you meet, tell them about the instructions that Krishna has given in Srimad Bhagavatam, and in Bhagavad Gita, and in this way become a guru and liberate your land. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught us the method. Kirtan, chanting Hare Krishna and preaching. Atakshi Krishna Namadi, Nabravet Grayam Indriyai, Sevam Hindo, Sujivado, Swayam Avas Bratyada. Atakshi Krishna Namadi. That Krishna's name can't be realized so easily. Atakshi Krishna na bravet grayam indriya. Because our senses, especially the mind, is covered by so many illusory conceptions. So many pushings of the mind, of the senses. Therefore, this is a symptom of the fact that we're covered by the illusory energy. So how, if we want to realize Krishna's name, is it possible? Atakshi Krishna Namadi, Nabraved, Grayam Indriya, Seva Mukhe, Hi Jiva Dao. Then in the beginning, we can utilize the tongue. So most devotees, they have very strong tongues. Even Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakura says this tongue is normally very strong. We can see how strong the tongue is. That they've invented so many ways of using their tongue. The internet is simply another method of using the tongue. Chatter, 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 chatter. No, everyone is chattering all the time. But this chatter is just like the frogs. Prabhupada said they're frogs. And they're going, quark, quark, quark. And what are they doing? They're simply inviting the black snake to come and swallow them. So the black snake is time. It's coming and devouring everyone. Everyone is chattering. And what are they chattering? Where is the worm? Where is the worm? Beep, 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 beep. Where is the worm? Where is the money for the worm? Where is this? Where is sense gratification? Where is the worm? Where is money? That's all they're chattering. And therefore the black snake of time is calling and going, whoop! And there's no more frog. Therefore, one has to utilize the tongue specifically in taking Krishna prasadam and chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And if we utilize the tongue in glorifying Krishna, then the result is that naturally our ears will also be engaged in hearing about Krishna. And if we hear about Krishna by glorifying Krishna, and if we chant Hare Krishna, then the mind will begin to think about Krishna. And the more one thinks about Krishna, the more one becomes absorbed in thoughts about Krishna, the more one comes to the perfectional state. And the more we think about Krishna, then the more we're actually associating with Krishna. And the more we associate with Krishna, the more we come to the platform of pure Krishna consciousness. And how to associate with Krishna? Simply to serve Krishna. And service to Krishna begins with the tongue. Of course, if we're actually utilizing the tongue in Krishna's service, if we're actually taking Krishna prasadam with devotion, if we're actually chanting Hare Krishna and not doing anything else, all the other senses will also follow. Then the mind will think about Krishna, the senses will be engaged in service to Krishna, and therefore will actually be completely absorbed in Krishna. Manmana bhava madbhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru mamaivaishasi satyam te prati jani priyosime. So Krishna says, always think of me. So how to think of Krishna? We can try to fix the mind upon Krishna, but that may be very difficult. Krishna says, maya satyam anakparata, always think of me. And certainly we'll become Krishna conscious if we actually always think about Krishna. But it's very difficult. Therefore, it is necessary to engage in service. Maya saktam anakparata yogam yunjan mayashraya asamsham samagramam yatagyasasi tatschinu. Therefore Krishna says, hear. So that's why we're hearing. So what are we hearing? We're hearing that we should engage the tongue in Krishna's service. So service really begins with the tongue, but Krishna's saying here. So isn't that service? Yes, it's service if we hear that we should engage the tongue in Krishna's service. If after all the hearing, we don't reach the conclusion, I must engage my tongue in Krishna's service, then we haven't heard and it wasn't service. So it becomes service as soon as I become convinced, yes, now I must go out and use my tongue. But not until 12 o'clock this evening. At least not taking prasad. So today it's chanting about Krishna and hearing about Krishna, hearing about the glories of Krishna, and then by utilizing the tongue in Krishna's service, manmana bhava madbhakta. Or by thinking about Krishna, by utilizing the tongue, glorifying Krishna, hearing about Krishna, thinking about Krishna, one will actually get a taste of consciousness of Krishna. There's bhakti rasa. That if we can think about Krishna and feel His presence, then there's bhava. Bhava means actual feeling towards Krishna. So as soon as that bhava is awakened within our heart, then the result is naturally we'll actually want to glorify Krishna, hear more about Krishna, and engage in Krishna's service. And as Krishna sees, we're making an effort, then tesham eva nukamparatam. Then out of compassion, He takes away our misgivings, our anarthas, are other desires other than Krishna. So madmana bhava madbhakto madhyaji. And then we'll actually come to the platform of worshipping Krishna. That not only will love Krishna, but we'll be able to appreciate even our own devotion to Krishna. Sometimes the devotees are chanting Hare Krishna and they're going, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Oh, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. And we're thinking, boy, Maya Maya. I can't even appreciate my own devotion to Krishna. What to speak of anyone else's devotion? So unless we get a taste for loving Krishna, unless we actually begin to appreciate our own possibility of loving Krishna, then how can we appreciate anyone else's devotion to Krishna? Unless we taste what devotion to Krishna is like, then how will we be able to understand what it means for anyone else to be experiencing what Krishna consciousness is? Then we may see people rolling on the ground and we think, wow, he can't even keep, you know, he can't even dance, he has to roll. can't even coordinate his feet, falls on the ground all the time. Unless we actually come to the platform of getting some taste for Krishna, we won't be able to appreciate anyone else's taste for Krishna. And then everything will appear as something other than Krishna consciousness. But if we can actually think of Krishna by chanting Hare Krishna, by taking Krishna prasadam, if we can actually worship Krishna, then we'll be able to appreciate others. Madhyaji mam namaskuru. Then we can actually become humble. We can appreciate not only Krishna, but we can appreciate all the devotees. So Krishna says, Bhaktaram jagatapasam sarva lokamaheshwaram suridam sarva bhutanam gyatvamam shanti mrichiti. That this is the actual platform for peace. That this is the solution to all the world's problems. We may not know about economics or how to invest in the stock market or so many different things that people think are necessary for prosperity. That this is the actual secret for prosperity. To actually recognize that everything here is Krishna's. And everything is meant for Krishna's pleasure. Everyone is supposed to be engaged in working for Krishna's pleasure. And because Krishna is the real friend of everyone. And as soon as one works for Krishna's pleasure, actually works for Krishna's pleasure, then Krishna supplies everything. And at the same time, one becomes Krishna conscious. Everything becomes very easy and sublime, and at the same time one becomes conscious of Krishna, and one awakens one's actual identity, one's actual purpose in life, which is nothing other than loving Krishna. Whoever we are, whatever our rasa is, we have no other goal save and except to act in Krishna consciousness just to satisfy Krishna. So here Krishna is saying that there's a process, we learn this process, and follow it, then we'll become conscious of him, and then we'll be at once transported back to the spiritual world, and we'll wake up, and there will be no more problems. So, thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any questions?
Yes. This verse, is it a sales talk, or is it sufficient just to know his activities without, does that include being pure, or just to know about his activities on the earth?
Well, if we read all this purport again, it's very clear that in truth, in tattvataha, so it means 100%.
Yeah, but even if you're not pure, but you understand, or...
It's not possible to understand. Just like, for instance... Say we took an apple and we did a chemical analysis of the apple, of what the taste is like in the apple. So we may know everything about the apple except for what it actually tastes like. So to actually understand Krishna and his activities, we have to understand the rasa, because there's the only rasa in Krishna's activities. So that's what it means to understand in truth, to understand bhava, vibhava, Anubhava, Sattvika Bhava, Stai Bhava, Vyabhichari Bhava, as they all combine together for rasa. That's to understand Krishna. Without understanding rasa, Krishna Bhakti Rasa Bhavi Kamati, we can't actually understand Krishna.
But why is the word then to know, why not to realize? Or
that's in Sanskrit, that deity means both. It means to actually experience. And here, Krishna says, deity tatvataha. Tatvaha means to experience, to know the whole thing by completely. Well, it's not, commonly we think it's, we have this syndrome of black and white syndrome. Either it's black or it's white. Either I'm a demon or I'm a devotee. But actually our actual philosophy is the iron and the fire example. That the more the iron's in the fire, it gets hotter and hotter and hotter, then it becomes just like fire eventually. So we understand that everything and everyone is all, or everyone, every living entity is, everyone's conscious of Krishna to different degrees. So it is a question of going upwards rather than downwards. That the Vedas try to bring one upwards. But in this age, especially the chanting of Hare Krishna is like the elevator. It brings us up very quickly. While anyone who's following the scriptures, they're actually rising, and anyone who's not, they're falling. But the chanting, especially in this age, is like the elevator. It brings us up to Krishna consciousness very quickly. As long as we actually accept, give up material existence. That simultaneously, if we try to make some effort to give up material consciousness, material conceptions, and at the same time rise up to the platform of Krishna consciousness, then it's a very quick lift to do it. So we don't have to be an anxiety that I'm not relishing Krishna consciousness, I'm only trying to become conscious of Krishna. But we should have faith that if I simply stick to the path with determined dhrita vrata, then it's such a quick lift that before I know it, then I'll be with Krishna. But if I become impatient and I think, oh, it's taking such a long time, let's try Maya again, see what that's like. I shouldn't become impatient. Of course, Maya will help us, she'll kick us till we come back to Krishna again. But just patience. And then gradually, Krishna says, step by step with full conviction, one will become situated in trance by means of intelligence sustained with full conviction. So therefore, we're hearing, we're learning the science, we become convinced, and then even though Maya is coming and trying to deviate us, telling us so many things, oh, it's taking too long, you know, why are you suffering so much, you need a break, and you know, relax a little bit, you're going to get a heart attack, you know. It's a long, long process. You have many births, you know. Don't be in a rush. Don't be in the mode of passion to reach Krishna. Take it easy. So either Maya will tell us, yogas chalati manasa, but try and trick us by so many allurements. Still, we have to keep to the path, you know, gradually, step by step. And then Krishna will help. Krishna sees a little sincerity in our part, and then he just fans it, makes it more bigger and bigger. Yes?
So is it good to have passion for Krishna, or why have passion for Krishna?
For Krishna? Passion? Well, no, we want to have love for Krishna. But since we already have passion, we have energy, we can utilize that in Krishna's service, and then it'll turn into love. Anything else?
You said you have to learn the science of devotion, but on the surface, by living devotion to Krishna consciousness. What does that mean?
Well, it means that we're trying to live like the residents of Vrindavan. We're trying to follow their footsteps. And their footsteps begin with Tannama Rupa Charitadi Sukirtananu Smritya Kramena Rasana Manasi Niyoja. So first of all, we're trying to engage our tongue and our mind in Krishna's service. So although we're conditioned, ordinarily, for instance, there's probably 15 different nationalities here. And some of those countries may even be fighting with each other right now, for all we know. So in Kali Yuga, people can't live with each other. They can't even stand the smell of each other, what to speak of seeing each other. No one likes each other. And even people in the same country, they only, you know, if they meet someone from their same city, they think they're actually really from their country. Everyone else is kind of really a foreigner. But somehow or another, they got into the country. And even within the city, if you live on my block, then you're my friend. Even in the same city. And then in the same house, my family. But even in the family, they're fighting and killing each other. What to speak of outside the family? They can't even sit. So how is it that so many devotees can come together from so many different nationalities? Because somehow or another, we're trying to use our tongue and mind in Krishna's service. Of course, we have to go beyond just the tongue and mind in Krishna's service. We actually have to make it a reality that we're so much utilizing our tongue and mind in Krishna's service that we're actually living in Goloka Vrindavan and following the footsteps of the Lord's beloved devotees. That we have to make our environment just like Goloka. So what is Goloka? Dadati pratigrinati guyam akiti prichati bhunte bojayate chayava shadvidam pratilakshana. It's the six loving exchanges. Offering Krishna to others and accepting Krishna, revealing one's mind about Krishna and inquiring about Krishna, offering prasadam to Krishna and accepting prasadam from Krishna. That Krishna has to be the center of all the relationship. So if Krishna is the center of all the relationships, then everything will be very sweet. If all the relationships are based just to please Krishna, then we can do amazing things if actually we're trying to please Krishna. So when Krishna is there, and we're following the footsteps of great devotees, how they try to please Krishna, and we live our lives like that, then we'll become rapidly, that is Krishna consciousness. Then everything will be Krishna. So we're practicing in the association of devotees how to make everything like Krishna eyes. And we're watching out for the famous Atyahara Prayasas Cha Pujapaniyam Agraha Jana Sangasya Loyam Cha Chadir Bhakti Vinashati. We're trying not to eat too much or collect too much. Endeavor for things outside of helping, which would not help us remember Krishna. We're trying to avoid idle talk, things that are not pertaining to Krishna. We're trying not to follow the rules and regulations mechanically. We're trying to do them to understand how they help us become Krishna conscious. And we're not neglecting following the rules and regulations. We're trying to make them Krishna conscious. And we're not trying to become greedy for mundane achievements. We're trying to become greedy to please Krishna, so that Krishna is actually satisfied. And we're avoiding associating with worldly-minded persons, whether it's the newspaper or the television or the radio or the movies. We're trying to avoid such association, and we're trying to simply put the consciousness on Krishna. Then if we do it with utsaha nischaya darya tat tat karam pravartada sangat tyagat sito vide shadbir bhakti prasidati. We do it with patience and confidence and enthusiasm. We follow the nine principles of devotional service, beginning with shravanam, kirtanam, vishnu smaranam, padasevanam. And if we associate only with the devotees, give up worldly association, follow in the footsteps of the previous acharyas, then we'll certainly be successful in devotional service. So here in the Association of Devotees, we're practicing that. Durlava manava janama sat sange tarahara e bhava sindure. That it is very difficult to cross over the ocean of material existence, but it's possible if we take the association of those who are practicing in this way. Anything else? Okay. Grantharaj Bhagavad Gita ki jai, Krishna Janmasthami ki jai, Shri Shri Radha Gopinath Lalita Vishakha ki jai, Lord Jagannath Lord Baladev Srimati Subhadra Devi ki jai, Shri Shri Gauranithai ki jai, Shri Giri Govardhan ki jai. We shouldn't forget it's also Lord Jagannath's appearance day because he's Krishna. I once asked Guru Prabhupada, who's Lord Jagannath, and he told me he's Krishna. Yeah.